Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God, our Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and dear friends in Christ. This is the festival. I want to note the word festival of the Holy Trinity. That means it is a great day to be alive in the Church of Jesus Christ on a festival of Holy Trinity. Because on the festival of the Holy Trinity, we get to confess confidently the Athanasian Creed. Yeah, two pages of creed. That's a festival thing to do. That's what you'd want to do at your house sometime. Hey, let's all go in the living room and say the Athanasian Creed together. But it'll be responsive, so it'll be not the whole thing. You at least get a little break there. And the other thing that retired pastors do is they find that this is a very good trick for combining the sermon and the creed, so it kind of cuts down on some of the other stuff to have to prepare on. But the Athanasian Creed, among other creeds, we celebrate all the creeds in the church that we had, the apostles, the Nicene, and then later one named after Athanasius. So it comes to us after many hundreds of years. But the reason for these creeds, very plain and simple, is because there were those even inside the church that were robbing church members, baptized members of Christ, they were robbing them of the consolation of being fully sure of their salvation, being fully sure that they were of Christ and his body and his communion, the church. They had done things inadvertently, paved with good intentions, like so many do nowadays as well. And these were pastors doing this in the church. And people were confused. People were uncertain of their life with God. And so into the life of the church comes, because of Holy Scripture, from the Old and New Testaments now coming together, comes these three ecumenical creeds. Today, the Athanasian that we celebrate. And so the church then speaks out to these mysteries of God. And you just think of the Apostle Paul in Romans, oh, the depth and the riches and the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments, how inscrutable his ways. For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been his counselor, or who has given a gift to him that he might be repaid? For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be glory forever. Amen. The Apostle Paul, according to Romans chapter 11. There it is. How unsearchable are the deep mysteries of God. You just try to define God and see how far you get. And we think the creeds have it all figured out. Well, the creeds only reveal to us in the way of God and his mysterious way, by the way that God always reveals himself in Scripture. You notice that it's when you read your Scripture, you're not in a philosophy class. You're not studying ways of thinking and ways of considering the realities that are before us. No, you're not even redefining language of the day to make other definitions. You're not doing that in anything in the church here, not anything in the Scriptures, because the Scriptures tell us all about God, about the deep mysteries of God. But you know how they do it? The same way that you and I understood it and learned it from our parents, who were not the greatest philosophers, but they told us, what has God done? The doings of God among man, among you and your family. God reveals himself by the God that created us and gave us all these gifts that we know day to day. We didn't have to go to a class to understand what the creation account told us that we have received. All of these things in creation. We didn't have to go to a philosophy class to learn all the things that God has done to us and for us in the Old Testament by his prophets and apostles and his word becoming on earth. We didn't have to go to a philosophy class to be told in Sunday school the stories of Jesus. Jesus, who is the living Word made flesh, there's a concept there, but we were shown it because we read and knew and learned and heard all the stories of Jesus, who is our Savior, who comes to us as the Son of God in the true flesh, like just like we are in the true flesh, not some unimaginable being. It all comes through these creeds and in this way. And so we celebrate today because it is now after Pentecost. With the receiving of the Holy Spirit, we had it again in the book of Acts today. The book of Acts, where Peter and the 11. So notice it's the 12 apostles doing the work on Pentecost. Because they had received authority from Jesus. Our gospel lesson said it well. The Lord took them to the mountain, and at other times when the Lord breathed on them to receive the Holy Spirit. But he took them to the mountain, and he very, very plainly proclaimed all authority. Your Lord, your Jesus, has all authority in heaven and on earth. They were afraid he was going to leave them. They were in somewhat trepidation, some fear, because they had seen this resurrected Lord, but now he's going to go up and away from it. They didn't even know that. And he didn't go up and away. He went and ascended to where a cloud hid him from the sight. The cloud, the Nephilim, that's where God shows himself through the cloud, like with Moses. He says very plainly, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, participle, as you are going, as you do, because you are alive in my name, I send you forth with my gifts, doing my work by my authority. I am the one who does this through you for the entire world, bringing forgiveness of sins. That means when you are without sin, you are all of a sudden holy, without sin in the eyes of God. It's a gift. It's all his gift. So as you are going, because that's what people who are alive do, they get up and go. As you are going to the apostles, he said it to them very plainly, baptize all nations in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit now revealed to you for the forgiveness of sins. And teach them, this is what's very interesting, teach them to keep, hold on to, not obey. That word obey is a mistranslation. Teaching them to keep the commandments. The commandments means that which has been authorized unto you to give them, that they can hold on to. Why have we gone to church all of our life? Because we receive the word of God that we can hold on to and keep. When God says, by this Son of mine who died for your sins, bearing your sins, taking your sins upon himself to defeat your sins, this is by the authority that was given to him by his beautiful righteous life. And this is all for you and me and all in this world. And he has thankfully found us and called us by his word and given us that authority over sin. So that when we stand before God, we don't stand before God cowering and wondering if we're okay. We stand before God confident enough to say, I confess my transgressions unto the Lord. That's where I take my sins. That's where I take my secrets. That's where I take all the things that I'm ashamed of that cut me to the heart. To this Lord. Because he forgives sins. And so what does he do through that one that stands in the office that he has given into the church? He speaks to you directly, not Doug Barnett. When I say I forgive you, man, that matters not. But it is in this office by which we wear this, which is a yoke to say, stay in the office, stay in the lane, just like a yoke of oxen. This stole says, in his place, in his stead, I forgive you because you hear the word not of me, you hear the word of Jesus Christ, our Savior. You are sanctified, you are holy. This is the way the creeds go. And you see that as Peter was there, he said this Jesus God raised up in today's lesson from Acts, he raised up and that we are all witnesses, being therefore exalted at the right hand of God and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he has poured out this that you yourselves are seeing. Did you notice this Jesus whom the Father gave with the promise of the Holy Spirit? Did you hear the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit now in this book of Acts on the day of Pentecost? This Holy Spirit is here for you. And this Lord is victorious. For even David was not the Lord. He said, my Lord, said to my Lord. David has a grave to this day. So sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool, he says. David shows the prophecy of Christ. Let all the house of Israel there know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom, oh, here's the pertinent word, you crucified. Well, they didn't all crucify Jesus. Did you crucify Jesus? Well, it's in the words here. Whom you crucified. And what happened? The very next words say, which was not in today's lesson, when they heard these words, all those that were gathered in Jerusalem, many had nothing to do with anything that happened to Jesus. With those words, they were cut to the heart. They knew they were sinners. They knew they had transgressed. They knew that things had happened to them that were not even their fault, had tainted them and made them dirty and stained them and made them unclean. They knew who they were, and here they are standing before those with all authority in heaven and earth, given to the apostles here to speak to these people the forgiveness of sins. Be baptized, every one of you, into the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit for the forgiveness of sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. When all of this happens, you and I in our natural state realize we're still sinners. But as we stand before this Lord and God, before this Savior who sends us the apostles and the words of his scriptures and all of this authority in our life, we know that we are already saints. We know that we are already holy before God. The reason I went into all this diatribe is because I meant to tell you, you got to get those hymnals open, because we're going to do it. We're going to confess the Athanasian Creed verse by verse. It's on page 319. You can get it right now if you want, because we're going to do it here real soon. But in the very last part of this creed, which tells us a lot, and listen how it does actually tell us not only who God is, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, but also tells us what God has done for us. But the very last words, which then always kind of go, whoa, I'm living in a world where I'm not so sure I'm always so pure and holy because of things I've been told, even sometimes in the church. Not right. But notice at the very end on page 320, you go 319 is where we're going to start. At his coming, all people will rise again with their bodies and give an account concerning their own deeds. Oh gosh, I was doing really good with this creed until we got to that part. Where on the last day we'll all rise again and give an account concerning their own deeds. And those who have done good will enter into eternal life, and those who have done evil into eternal fire. This is the Catholic faith, that is the whole faith. And whoever does not believe it faithfully and firmly cannot be saved. They made a real claim here to opponents of the church. Whoever doesn't believe this can't be saved. You need to knock it off. You need to get back into what we confess and know. But, oh, give an accounting. Do you see what you have just done today in church? We've gone through the confession. You gave an accounting of who you are, of what's happened in your life. Some of us have been a little more cut than others this week by things that we've done, or things that we've thought of that we did a long time ago, or things that have stained us that we had nothing to do with, but got put upon me that makes me feel like I can't stand before God as pure and holy because I just know the things that I've been a part of in my life. There's the accounting. You did it again. We all did it again. And what happened from our Lord? I forgive you. In the name of this Lord who takes all these sins upon himself, even the sins of those in your own family that you're not reconciled with. That's how this Lord does it. It's a beautiful, beautiful thing that we confess in this creed. So it's time to confess this authority. What we celebrate in, that he has given us this faith, even sometimes when we don't understand all the full deep mysteries of God. But here it is in the Athanasian Creed. Let's speak it, confess it together. You see the rules, the instructions. You know, I do the odd verses, you do the even verses. And enjoy this beautiful, beautiful creed. Whoever desires to be saved must above all hold the Catholic faith. And the Catholic faith is this. For the Father is one person, the Son is another, and the Holy Spirit is another. Such as the Father is, such is the Son, and such is the Holy Spirit. The Father infinite, the Son infinite, the Holy Spirit infinite. And yet there are not three eternals, but one eternal. In the same way, the Father is almighty, the Son almighty, the Holy Spirit almighty. So the Father is God, the Son is God, the Holy Spirit is God. So the Father is Lord, the Son is Lord, the Holy Spirit is Lord. Just as we are compelled by the Christian truth to acknowledge each distinct person as God and Lord, so also are we prohibited by the Catholic religion to say that there are three gods or lords. The Son is neither made nor created, but begotten of the Father alone. For there is one Father, not three fathers, one Son, not three sons, one Holy Spirit, not three Holy Spirits. But the whole three persons are co-eternal with each other and co-equal, so that in all things, as has been stated above, the Trinity in unity and unity in Trinity is to be worshipped. But it is also necessary for everlasting salvation that one faithfully believe the incarnation of our Lord Jesus Christ. He is God, begotten from the substance of the Father before all ages, and he is man, born from the substance of his mother in this age. Equal to the Father with respect to his divinity, less than the Father with respect to his humanity. One, however, not by the conversion of the divinity into flesh, but by the assumption of the humanity into God. Whereas the rational soul and flesh is one man, so God and man is one Christ. Ascended into heaven, and is seated at the right hand of the Father, God Almighty, from whence he will come to judge the living and the dead. And those who have done good will enter into eternal life, and those who have done evil into eternal fire. As Lutherans, we've grown up with a piety in our circles of a dinner prayer that we pray. And it struck me one time as very profound that we pray this confidently. It's a very simple prayer. Most of you know it. Come, Lord Jesus, be our guests, and let these gifts, or let this food, or thy gifts, as Grafs would say, to us be blessed. Did you ever notice how in that prayer we don't say, Lord Jesus, not yet, not yet, don't come, just bless this stuff for us here, but no. We eagerly pray every day of our life that this Lord will come, because this is how he will find us, accounted for, righteous in his holiness, the deeds that he has given to us by grace, to be able to say the words of this creed along with the others that so wonderfully explain all of Holy Scripture for you. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.